Hi, this is John Ryan with Team Handball News, and joining me on the line all the way from Sweden is the technical director for the Netherlands Handball Association, and I apologize if I don't get the name right, but I have it down as Shores Rutger. You can give a better pronunciation if you would like.
No, it's okay. It's Shores Rutger. In English, called George, but we call it Shores in the Netherlands. It's okay. It's really okay.
Okay. All right. Well, as I alluded to earlier in our conversation before we started the recording, I am fascinated with the Netherlands handball team. And part of that fascination comes from I'm just going to read off some Netherlands results at the World Championships for the past few years. 2007, did not qualify. 2009, yeah. Did not qualify. 2011, 15th place. 2013, 13th place. 2015, second place. And then at the Olympics, just this past August, you guys took fourth place. And now you guys are again in the semifinals with another chance to medal. That is a remarkable accomplishment. And I'm trying to figure out how you guys have done it.
Yeah. Okay, but it's remarkable. But on the other side, what it proves, we started with playing the game at the level at top number 15 years ago. So in 2001, we really started with a plan. And then after a few years, we made a program. I think if you want to do in top sport, in what sport forever, it's a new sport in your country or a new sport for your federation, you need at least 10, 15 years to start from the bottom up to the top. And that's a long time. And we started in 2001. The first we did, because we had some people who played the game, is to write our Dutch handball vision. Now, of course, handball is handball. But as you probably know, we play handball in a Dutch way, not as a Swedish way or a German way or a French way. We are from our Netherlands country and we play it the Dutch way. And on the other side, a big step in our program was in 2006. We started with some young people training 16 to 18 hours a week. The best of our country are in the Olympic Center. And from 2006, so we had the Dutch handball vision. We knew how to play. We knew how to train. And we brought in 25 young players. Some of them are playing here now. And they started to train 16 to 18 hours. That's necessary for playing handball. Vision, program, ideas, good coaches, good trainers. And each country can reach the top of the level in handball. And especially also your country, because you have a big sport culture.
Let's talk a little bit about the program. Now, I've seen the vision in Dutch, so I couldn't read it real well. But there was an obvious pyramid that was set up, and some of the website I was able to translate into. And you guys have a program which roughly follows a pyramid shape, if you will, with a handball schools. And then what you call regional training centers, and then handball academies, and then top sport.
Yeah.
So why don't you work that through, going from the bottom of the pyramid to the top of the pyramid, and talk about what happens at each of those levels.
Yes. Okay. First, when we started this idea 50 years ago, and I was responsible as a technical director for going somewhere. The first what I told to my colleagues, I want to have education responsibilities, because I was sure the first step I had to make that the trainers, the coaches in the Netherlands had to train as we wrote down in the Dutch handball vision. So I'm responsible for education of coaches. We have five levels on it. And the handball vision, our way of training and playing is in education. The second what I did is the talent programs. So we started to build, I call it, it's a pyramid, or it's a house. So the first level a talent starts is the club. So by being responsible for the education of the coaches, I could influence the levels of the club. Next to the club, A child in the Netherlands can go in the neighborhood. As you know, we are a very small country. We made the handball schools. So next to the training at the club, for example, a child of 10 years trains 3-4 hours a week. They can go to a handball school in the neighborhood and they train there at 13 years, 2 hours, 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours. And we are putting them in a kind of talent program. We are checking them when they are 14 years young. After the handball school, the best of them, for example, in a handball school can be 400 or 500 handball players. They go to the talent program. We take out the best 150. They go to regional talent center. It's also quite in the neighborhood of where they live. And the best of them, the best 25, they go when they are 16 years young to the handball academy. And that's a full-time program, like in the States, studying, playing handball, and living there, because they can't live at home, because our country is small, but it's very crowded. And that handball academy program, they are in for at least 2 years, 3-4 years, and after the handball academy, they go to top clubs. It can be in the Netherlands, but mostly, most of our players play in professional competitions in the France, Germany, Denmark, Norway. It's the pyramid. I hope I explained it well enough.
Not too bad. I have a couple questions focusing on different parts of the pyramid. In the regional training centers, how many of those are there?
Seven.
So seven different regional training centers. And that's where kids that are getting a little bit better at handball get some extra training at a little bit higher level.
Yeah, this it's in the clubs. It's club level. It's normal. If they are talented, the first step they make when they are 12 or 13 years, they go to the handball schools. There are 13, and in the handball schools, for example, can be 500-600 boys or girls in 13 handball schools, and the best of them we select when they are 14, and they go to the regional talent center. And that, for example, are 60 or 70. So they are best from the 400-500. They train at the handball school, at the regional talent center, all together around 10 hours a week, together with the clubs. And the best of that 60, they can go when they are 16 to the handball academy. And so each time there's an extra step next to the fact that, of course, they have to study.
Yes, and that's one of the key things that I was looking at the program. One of the things I couldn't quite follow through with the version was the ages at the handball academy. And I think that's probably something that you have to balance a lot of different factors in terms of the maturity of the player. Because at the handball academy, correct me if I'm wrong, they're actually living there full time.
Yes. Yes. They are coming on Sunday evening, go home at Friday afternoon. In the evening of Friday, they train with their club 2 hours. They play competition on Saturday or Sunday. And yes, they are full time because in a full time program in the Western part of Europe, we say full-time training and playing is 20 hours a week is possible. Next to the 20 hours of training, you need a kind of rest. And for example, traveling, and as you know, we are so small compared to the United States, but still it's not easy to travel from Amsterdam to Utrecht. It's a long time because we have it's very crowded. So we decided to let them live on our Olympic Center. Yes, they don't go home. They are 16 years young, and so it's not easy for them, especially not in the beginning, but it's their dream. It all starts with the dream of a player. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for a young player who has a dream. But yes, if you want to be a big handball player, like in other sports, you need to train and play 20 hours a week.
So they live in essentially a dorm-like setting?
Yeah.
Is there a school like for regular? That's the age of high school in the United States.
Yes.
So is there a regular school that they attend?
Yeah, they it's a regular school, but the school has a special program for talent children. For example, they can spread out their exam, and it's a regular school, but it's in the school there's a special class for talented young players. So we work together with them. For example, the program of a day, they start training each morning from 8 to 10. Then half past 10, they are with a bus. They go to school. They come back around 3:30 in the afternoon. Then we train 2 hours. And then in the evening, they eat together. They study. And that's the program.
Okay. And then you said it's the program. How long does it last for the different athletes? Is it a two-year program?
Yeah, at least 2 years. Because you need half a year to adapt, and because it's a huge step, and yes, the most of them 2 years, then some of them are ready for the next step, but mostly it's 3 years, sometimes 4 years, and then they make the next step. And in our country, the next step is mostly it's Germany or Denmark. Because in the Netherlands, there's only one club who trains around 12 hours, but there's no professional handball in our country. It's always on amateur base, so 10 hours. So most of them go abroad.
Well, understood. Now, also that age, so we're talking the range of athletes at the Handball Academy is basically 16 to age 20?
Yeah, right. Sometimes 21, 22, but yes, most of them go out around when they are 20 or 21.
Do you have an age limit?
Sometimes earlier.
Do you have an age limit?
No, because sometimes they start with 15, but you have to take care because 16 is the best, but we have them from 15. They also can come in when they are 19. It's because the whole system of talent players, some of them are can make the next step at 16, some of them with 18. So no, there's no age limit.
George, I was actually looking at it from the other standpoint. Do you take any athletes that are 22, 23?
No, that's too. Then mostly, no, we never did. And I will not say we will never do it in the future, but we never did because then it's probably too late to make the big step to the professional leagues. No, we never did. It's also related, like you said for yourself, it's related to the high schools and that kind of stuff. When you're 23, you are not going to school, most of them, or they're going to a university, but that's a huge study. So, no, mostly they are 16, 17.
Yeah. And then if they're like 18 or 19, are some of the students going to university?
Yes, it's possible. The Olympic Center is in the middle of the Netherlands. Yes, the some of them went to university, but I have to be honest, there are also some players who made a small cut in their studying. So they go to they start a kind of study and then they stop and they do it from Germany, so they make steps in it. And I'm glad not all, but that can be a decision for a player.
Okay.
And
this sounds like an awesome program. Now, but awesome programs generally are not free. How is this academy funded?
Yeah, it's funded by the federation for a part. Then it's funded for a part by the Olympic Committee in my country, and the parents are paying for it. So it's not cheap, but it's acceptable because very important for me is that when a child is a big talent in a sport, it cannot be related to the fact that the parents don't earn enough money. So yes, normally they pay a part of it because they're not at home anymore. And so these three groups are paying the money that we need for the program. But it's for most of the parents acceptable because they are not living at home. So it's
a couple of hundred dollars a month, and it's accepted. And the big money comes from the federation and from the Olympic Committee.
What would be the overall investment for running the academy for the federation? What is the overall top number for that?
In dollars?
Aye.
Well, for the federation, it's not a big amount. Maybe $80,000-$90,000 for the federation. How many
dollars or euros a year is it?
$89,000
to run the run the academy?
Yeah.
Because
Olympic Center, it's related also. The biggest amount comes from the Olympic Center. We are living on the Olympic Center. There are 100 rooms, and there's a lot of stuff, food and studying. It's all paid by the government.
Okay. So the overall cost...
I have also a player now here.
I'm sorry?
I have to make a small break because there's also Lois Abbing now standing next to me. She was on the academy. If you want to speak her, you have to fill that also in, say the people here.
George, the volume on what you were saying dropped for me. I couldn't quite hear you.
Okay. The player, Lois Abbing, is standing next to me because the my colleague from communication told me you wanted to talk to a player and to me.
Yes, I think I've covered most of the issues.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you. It gives me some real insight for it, and that would be great.
Okay.
I would like to talk to one of the
okay.
players that has been through the program.
Yeah, okay. And if you sent us an email, if you look to the site, there's an email address information, Dutch handball, then I can send you the English translation.
That would be great, George.
Yeah? Okay.
It was great talking to you.
I will
get
you now, Lois Abbing.
Okay.
Okay, see you.
Hello, is this Lois here?
Hi, is this Lois?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Lois. This is John Ryan with
Hi.
Team Handball News. And
hello.
You are hello. Lois Abbing, and you're
Drew.
And
that's me.
You guys are doing awful well here.
Yeah, I know
UP
we're pretty good at the moment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the tournament, and most of the reason I called is I'm really curious about your program. Somebody in the United States, our handball program has been bad for many years, and you guys have been respectable, but you guys have crossed the boundary from respectable to one of the top dogs, if you will, and that's that gives a nation like ours a lot of hope. So we're pulling for you.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your match tomorrow against Denmark. I was looking at some of the recent big tournaments, the Olympics, the European Championships. I couldn't find a match that you guys had played with them in a big tournament in a while. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I actually also can't remember the last time that we played against them. I think the last time I remember was some years ago, I think around 4 years ago. So, it will be totally new in that way for us as well. So we don't know quite what to expect against them. It's always better when you know the opponent that you're playing against. But, of course, a lot of my teammates are playing in the Danish league as well. So, of course, you play against them in other ways, in club competitions and stuff. So it will be exciting to see. I think it will be a very tough game for us.
Definitely, definitely. Have you guys even played them in a friendly recently?
No, not that I remember as well. No, I really don't know what the last time was. I think it was really some years ago.
That is just a strange luck of the draw that you guys have always been never been in the same pool.
Yeah.
Or that's really interesting that
true.
You guys are going to meet tomorrow.
Yeah. It's just some teams you play three or four times a year against, and some teams not. Yeah.
Well, As you might have guessed, I was just talking with George about the development program that you guys have developed or have implemented in the Netherlands. And I take it that's a program that you went through?
Yeah, correct. I went there when I was 15 years old. And then you went on Sunday evening, you went to Arnhem, it's in Holland, it's quite central. And there you stayed until Friday and you trained there twice a day, went to school. And then on Friday we went back to our clubs and played a match in the weekend with our club.
So you would basically go home for the weekend?
Yeah, exactly. Actually just went out of the house, out, away from your parents when we were 15, 16, and then you were being prepared for the life as a professional handball player when you're away from home and a lot of trainings and stuff like that.
Was there any level of homesickness when you were 15 and made that adjustment?
Yeah, I think it was always, for me personally, it was always hard to leave on a Sunday because you know your family stays at home and will sit for the television and have some nice dinner and you have to take the train to go to your room, to say it like that, and it can be quite hard. But I think when I've arrived there on Sunday evening and all the girls were there, and then it was also so much fun, so then you would forget about the homesickness.
Yeah, most people make that sort of leap when they're 18, and you just move that up about 3 years to work on your handball career at the same time.
Yeah, true.
As far as the training that you got there at the program, at the handball academy, how would you have compared that to if you had just like made the decision, I'm just going to stay in my local club team and keep playing there? How would you, on a scale of 1 to 10 or however you want to do it, describe the difference in how you would have developed as a player?
I think it makes a very big difference because when we would stay at the club, you would train maybe, if you're lucky, 4 times a week and you have a game in the weekend. But there we train twice a day. So you not only work at your handball skills, but you also work on your physical skills. And when you're in a club team, you all the time have the trainings with the club and you prepare for a game, and there's not so much time for individual development. So there we had also like maybe one training where you only would practice something that you want to be better at. So you have a lot of time to develop yourself even more. So I would say it's a big, big difference. I think with just staying in the club, your local club wouldn't get you to the level that we have now.
Yeah. Yeah, and just back up a bit. How did you decide to play handball, vice one of the other team sports that they play in the Netherlands?
Because my whole family was playing handball.
Okay.
I think that's most common in Holland. I think all the girls also here with the national team, they almost all started playing because their parents or one of their parents played handball.
Right.
So yeah.
One of the things, like for in the United States, most of our sports are tied to our high schools and then to our colleges.
Yeah.
With your handball career, have you been able to continue your studies, or maybe you didn't have a desire to, or maybe it just wasn't practical?
Yeah, I went to high school when I was at the academy, so I finished my high school there. And of course, that also, they needed to make some adjustments because we only had maybe 4 hours a day where we were able to go to school. But anyway, I finished my high school, and after that, I went abroad, and I didn't do a study for 2 years. And now, 2 years ago, I started studying again, so I'm still studying. Besides handball, because I know in Holland it's necessary that you have a degree when you want to work.
Yes, more and more, it's become important just about anywhere in the world, I think. And
exactly.
Handball is fun, but sometimes it can conflict with the other things that you want to do in life. But
yeah,
you're able to do that now. I understand you play for EC in Paris.
Yeah, true. True.
Are
so
you,
now I have some time. I have some time to study. It's actually quite the same. I go to training in the morning, maybe study a few hours at home. So, and I make my exams when I have the time. But of course, it will take you a lot more time than when you're a regular student because you don't have so many time and you're traveling a lot. So, yeah, you need to be very disciplined for it, I think. And not everyone can make it and can do it. And I can understand that as well.
Yeah. Going back to a little bit to life at the Handball Academy, you make a lot of friends and it's great being a part of a team, but that's also, there's also, I would suspect, a bit of a competitive aspect with the different players there. You know, with the pyramid system, some people move up the pyramid and then, you know, some people, whether they're not good enough or they have other commitments. Can you talk a little bit about that dynamic a bit?
I think it was, you could see that when we started, we had a lot of players who already quit after 1 or 2 years because they figured out that that was not the life for them. And I think you could see the ones who are willing to sacrifice and who kept improving. It all goes naturally and you grow more and you have a goal that you want to achieve, but of course it's a competitive because you're with 26 or even more girls and not everyone can make it and everyone knows that. But I think, yeah, it was just when the people quit, it was most of the time because they just felt they missed some things in life. They missed maybe social life and not maybe specifically because there was a big pressure or something on them. It was just, if you want to get better, you have to train here. And yeah, if you will do your thing, then maybe it will work out for you.
Yeah. And then as you were, I think you alluded to, you know, you get your training, you get better. Would you say that the overall goal then of the program is for players like you to eventually sign a pro contract somewhere?
Yeah, that of course is the goal because in Holland, there is not a competition that is very strong. So when you want to achieve something, you have to go abroad. But then you need to be prepared that you're without family and without people that you love. And you also need to be prepared for a lot of training. So that's exactly what the academy prepared us for. And so I think it was, of course, the main goal. And you see every year, also now the good ones are being signed by good clubs because everyone knows now about our program. So that's a positive thing.
Yeah. How does that process work? Does the federation provide the players any assistance in signing with clubs or, you know, helping connect you with clubs? Or is that pretty much done by the players?
Yeah. No, there's of course a big role also for the federation because I think now also they have, it was not in my time, but now they have also a lot of weeks where they, just a few players, they will go abroad to visit some high quality professional clubs just to train there and to see how it is. And they have the contacts as well. So they will help you with if you need anything about contracts and et cetera. But of course, you also just have the normal regular managers from all over the world who will contact you when you are a young player and want to get you. So, yeah, you get the help from federation as well and also a little bit from managers.
Yeah, so there's some managers hanging outside the Handball Academy in Netherlands going, hey, you know,
yeah,
sign with me. I'll get you a good contract.
Yeah. No, I think, of course, you also have the junior tournaments where you're being seen. If you're good, then they will contact you then for sure. So, but of course, now, like I said, there are positive things and everyone knows now about our academy. So it's now more easy to just go and check it out and see if there are some good players there.
Well, I just want to thank you. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. I know you got a big game tomorrow. I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with me about your program. I'm listening to it, and I'm going, you know, I watched the Netherlands women's team, and I'm going like, all right, that country is about 20th the size of us, maybe more. we can find 16 girls that
yeah,
that look not too much different from the Netherlands handball team and be competitive. But like I said, I think that there's a lot of issues that we would have to deal with in our country in terms of just our sheer size makes it challenging sometimes. But it's really great to see a program like the Netherlands find success after years of mediocrity. And I wish you all the best tomorrow. And if you can win there, I'm hoping that you guys can take that next big step and get on the gold medal stand.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you want me to give you back to Sjors or not?
No, I think we're good. I'm going to go ahead and sign off for Team Handball News. This is John Ryan.
Yeah,
I've been talking with Lois Abing, and we'll catch you next time.